December the 1st, 10 games, some returning superstars that I didn't get a chance to activate, which made me very sad today. Two of those probably cost me a matchup, or did I? I'll check. Anyway, it was a big night, Sunday night, so we've got a lot to go through. This is the Balls Deep. Not the Balls Deep. I'm not saying that yet. This is the Sunday post-game show. Let's go Balls Deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter at AdamKing91 and on Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Please find us as well at FBI Basketball. Go and hit up our Discord server as well. Always very active in there. We are on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Twitter. Please find us again. Like, rate, subscribe as we build the audience. Old Man Squad, we are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad or at Dan Bespris. And I think on Blue Sky, Dan is at Old Man Squad because someone already, apparently there's another Dan Bespris in the world, or someone just wanted to create a burner account for Dan Bespris. Who knows? But go and find him if you have any questions or interested about the other shows that they have. They have a lot. 10 games. Let's get straight into them. Now, there was no pre-game show today. I simply had no time. Had a lot going on at work and stuff, so I had to get up and get going early. I do have to get up and get going early tomorrow, but, hopefully we'll squeeze one in. All right, first game, Orlando and Brooklyn. Orlando get the win 100-92 for the Magic. Let's just start with Goga Bitadze. Still starting. Minutes have gone up since the return of Wendell Carter. I don't think any of us saw that coming. 12-13 with 3 steals, 2 blocks, 4-6 from the line. Probably the only real negative here, but he's been really good. He has to be rostered. Paolo will come back and we would assume that Wendell Carter will move to the center and Paolo will start, but maybe they just go with Goga. I'm not sure. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope shooting the ball well at the moment, so he is worth just streaming until it's not. Wendell Carter, mentioned him. He was pretty good in this one, 14-7, 2 blocks and a steal. Against the Nets, you're always going to put up numbers. Franz Wagner, not his best shooting night, 4-17 from the field, but he did have 20 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 blocks, so still really good numbers. And Jalen Suggs, modest, let's say modest, 12 points, 5 assists, 2 steals, and nothing on the bench. Hang on, I haven't made this full screen yet. There we go. Nothing here on the bench. Jonathan Isaac, only 8 minutes. Bit of inconsistency with his minutes over the last couple of games. I think you can move on. No need to be holding him. Brooklyn. So Cam Johnson played well, 26 points, 4 rebounds. No defensive stats, but percentages were good. He did injure his ankle late. It's the other ankle. So he seems to think he's going to play tomorrow, but let's see. Players always say that. Zaire Williams and Jalen Wilson, if you've been holding them or streaming them in, it's very sketchy. Both only played about 22 minutes and did nothing. So we're fine to move on. They do play tomorrow, I believe. I'm just going to check. I know Cam Johnson said he was going to play tomorrow, so they probably do, but I want to just double-check that before I... say that they do. They play the Bulls tomorrow. So if you wanted to hold them just because there's only 4 games tomorrow, then go ahead. But I don't think it's sustainable. Nick Claxton started, had 9-7 with a block and 2 steals. Dennis Schroeder, still playing really well, 20 points, 7 assists, so we just keep rolling with him. He just might be top 100 the rest of the season. And Ben Simmons, 12 minutes off the bench, hurt his knee, doubtful for tomorrow. I wouldn't think that there's any way they push him through any kind of injury, so I would assume Ben Simmons doesn't play tomorrow. So we probably get a little bit more Shake Milton, knowing who to go after. Like I said, four games tomorrow, so you could look at Trendon Watford, you could look at Keon Johnson, but there's certainly no guarantee that either of them will do anything. Pacers and Memphis. I guess at this point, when Halliburton plays on the road, we just bench him because he was not good in this one. 8-7 with a steal. He had been playing well. Last game was not as good, and then this one back to the old bad Tyrese Halliburton from a week or two ago. And honestly, just the numbers weren't great for the Pacers here across the board. They did lose 136 to 121, by the way. Mathurin still had his 19 points and the weird rebounding numbers, so rolling with him. Pascal Siakam, given the loss, he was okay, 17.6 assists, a block, and pretty efficient as well here. Andrew Nembhard returned, only played 15 minutes. He was on a minutes restriction, so we were expecting this. He had 14-4 with two steals. So theoretically, he's going to cut into TJ McConnell here, but McConnell actually played really well in 22 minutes off the bench. He had 15-4-4 with a steal. I'd like to hold McConnell and just see if he can hover around that 20-minute mark. That'll usually be enough to get serviceable assist and steal numbers. Obi Toppin, a nice game for him. Yeah, I'd need to see again. I'd need to see more of this before I'm running out to grab Obi Toppin. And for the Grizzlies, Jaren Jackson continues to be good. Ja Morant was fine in this one. I wouldn't say great, but he was fine. The questions that we have really are around Desmond Bane and Marcus Smart. And Scottie Pippen, to a lesser degree. Scottie Pippen is a drop, pretty clearly. The minutes are down. So don't. It's a pretty quick answer to any questions you had about him. Desmond Bane was better in this one. 16-6-6 with a steal. I still think he is a buy low. His ceiling, I said in the last, maybe the last show, one of the last shows, that he is probably not going to be a top 50 player, top 40, like we thought he might. I'd have him down in the top 70 range, so a couple of rounds lower based on what we've seen, but he'll turn this around in a big way at some point. He will have a big game, and that might be your opportunity to try and sell high on him. Marcus Smart had 16-6 off the bench. I think we're adding him or streaming him or however you want to view it, but if he's only playing minutes in the low to mid-20s, he's going to be borderline. Like, he's not always going to get 16 points. This could very well end up being a line where he has 8.6 assists and a steal, and then he's very, very borderline. So he's fine. As is Aldama, he continues to just find a way to value. I do think it's going to, at some point, it's going to end. But for now, if you've got him on your roster, you just keep him there. There's no indication that we need to drop him just yet. Now, let me just check these questions. Who have we got? We've got a Herb Jones question. We've got a matchup question. We've got a trade question. We've got a Ben. Well, let's do the Ben Simmons. What do we do with Ben? Assuming this is Ben Simmons. What do we do with him? Yeah, look, it's pretty hard. I think you can just drop. I don't think if you're in a standard league, I don't think people are going to rush out and pick him up if you do drop him. So the opportunity might be there to grab him again if you need to. But based on what we've seen this season, there's still, his body is still not healthy, not 100% healthy. The minutes, he's not going to play more than about 25 minutes. There's going to be lots of absences, rests. The production is fine sometimes, but I don't think he's worth prioritizing at all. And a sort of a Pacers question here. Would you rather have Jarris Walker or Musa Diabate until Charlotte is full strength? If you need rebounds, it's Musa. I think he still will be fine if you just need rebounds and blocks. Nick Richards, I think, played, what did we talk about in their last game, 25 minutes or 26 minutes, but he fouled out. So I do think he would have been closer to 30, which is going to limit Musa to, 17 to 20 at most. So you're probably looking at 9. I mean, he could get double-digit rebounds in that time. The issue with Musa Diabate, he's a very good rebounding streamer, very good rebounder. A lot of them are offensive. If you look at the numbers, very high percentage of his rebounds are offensive. He's not a good defensive rebounder. So offensive rebounds are obviously effort, energy. You can find gaps, get rebounds, but it's not as reliable as someone who is a good defensive rebounder. So Musa is going to be a little bit up and down. Mark Williams is close. I still don't think Jarris Walker's upside is that high, but yeah, Musa would only be rebounds for me and blocks. If you need a little bit more across the board, it's probably Jarris Walker. And a couple more questions, but we'll get to some more games first. Boston and Cleveland. Cleveland get a bit of revenge here. If we remember back, Boston actually handed Cleveland their first loss 2 weeks ago, maybe. 115 to 111 for the Celtics. No Jaylen Brown. He was out with an illness, so nothing to be concerned about there. But with him out, Al Horford moved into the starting lineup. And look, I mean, this may have been the case anyway because they were against Cleveland, who run two bigs. So, yeah, and of course Derek White was also out. So Tatum, very good. Porzingis, he looks absolutely fine. There's a Drew Holiday question, so I'll talk about him in a second. Sam Hauser got the spot start. So they're obviously very keen or comfortable with leaving Peyton Pritchard as that sixth man. So even though it was Derek White who was out, well, initially, they brought Sam Hauser in as opposed to Peyton Pritchard. Pritchard had 24 points, playing really well at the moment. Sam Hauser, if Jaylen Brown misses another game and if Derek White misses another game, Sam Hauser has some 3-point streaming appeal. Horford, probably a drop, I think 8 and 5 with a steal and a block. You just stream him in when Porzingis misses time. And Drew Holiday, so Chad does have a question. Oh, no. Yeah, surprise. Look, Pritchard's the better player, obviously, but as I said, I do think they like him coming off the bench a little bit more than Hauser, probably just because of his ball handling. He can run the offense a little bit. I know his scoring is where his volume is, but he's a much better ball handler, facilitator than Sam Hauser. So sort of makes sense. And he's drew a drop in 10-team leagues. Yeah, he hasn't been great. In a 10-team league, I think he's very borderline. I think best case this season is top 100, maybe. Maybe we're looking just outside that. And in a 10-team league with 12 or 13 roster spots, that's 120, 130 players. You're looking at your last two or three being stream spots. So that would make him potentially someone you could consider dropping, but it would depend who you are picking up as well. I wouldn't just drop him for anyone. So if you're opening up his spot for streaming, that would be okay, or I would be looking at someone with sustained value. For the Cavs, Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland were both good in this one. Mobley, only 9 points, so poor shooting night for him, but he had 10 rebounds, 3 blocks of steal, continues to be very good. Jarrett Allen, 8 and 10. He has slowed down. He's just not, comparatively, he's not up where Mobley is now, so he's still fine. Caris LeVert, as we said, really all he's done is cut into Ty Jerome's opportunities. So LeVert was okay, had 13 and 6 with a steal. I think he's very back end, but they're comfortable playing him minutes in the low 20s, and that's probably not enough for a permanent roster spot. George Niang had 13 points. I'm not interested in him. And as for Ty Jerome, only 11 minutes, so we can move on from him. Okay, the Pelicans and the New York Knicks. The Knicks get comfortable victory over a very disappointing Pelicans team. Again, 118-85. For the Pelicans, they're still without Brandon Ingram, still without Zion, still without Herb. Oh, there's probably other players there. I've lost track. Alvarado, Hawkins. So we got a... what's going on here? Hang on, let me fix that so we can see it. So we had a starting lineup of CJ, DeJounte, Misi, Javonte Green, and Trey Murphy. Javonte Green, no thank you. He did have four defensive stats. That's really all you are looking at him for. Misi was fine. Didn't get a double-double. He'd been playing really well, but he still had 11 and 8 with a block. I think he should be rostered. Trey Murphy, very quiet, 3 of 14 from the field, but obviously a must roster, as is DeJounte and CJ, but both were pretty ordinary in this one. Jeremiah Robinson-Earl, no thank you, Reeves. Look, they really just rolled out their bench here with the game well out of hand. Brandon Boston had 13 points, 2 steals. We're not holding him. I think I've still got him maybe in one 16-team league, and I might just, I don't know, maybe I give him another game. But he's certainly trending towards a drop. And we did have a Herb question from Ernest, I think. Any sense of when Herb is back? I spent some fab to stash him this week for my punt threes build. I think it might be this week coming up, yeah. So I don't know how many games I've got this week, but I think he'd be getting close. It wouldn't surprise me if he comes back this week. He'll be eased in a bit. It's not going to be sort of full throttle right away, but it will be good for them to have him back to give them a nice defensive presence. Something they have not had of late. For the Knicks, they didn't have to extend anyone here too much. Mikal Bridges had one of his better games, 31 points. Didn't add much outside of that, but good to see the shot falling. Towns didn't have to do a lot. He had 14 and 19 with a steal and a block. Yeah, look, I mean, the minutes were down, so we don't have to take too much out of this other than the fact that OG Anunoby continues to be the worst shooter in the league. After that red-hot run of about five games, but he did have 3 steals and 4 blocks. So if you – it's sort of another – I mean, this is extreme, obviously, 7 points on 2 of 10 shooting is really bad. But if you drafted him, you drafted him for defense, threes, really. He didn't hit a 3 here and the points were down, but the defense has been good. And it's one of those situations, a little bit like Bilal Coulibaly, where he just went on a hot run and then everyone's expectations went up. And okay, this guy should be a 20-point scorer. He's not. He's a 12, 13-point scorer who just had a hot run. So this is obviously down a bit, but not as down as we might think. And McBride had 22 minutes off the bench, 13 points. He is just a points streamer. Miami and Toronto. Toronto get the narrow victory here, 116-119. On the back of RJ Barrett, we'll get to them shortly. Bam Adebayo had 13 and 20, so a nice rebound game for him. Offense continues to be a bit underwhelming. Highsmith, I've talked about him before. You could stream him in if you want some defense, but, yeah, not much there. Jimmy Butler had 17 points in 34 minutes. Now, I believe – let me just have a look. I believe he either got injured or – I didn't see an injury pop up anywhere today, but I do knee – yeah, so I don't – yeah, okay. So they do play tomorrow as well, Miami. Looking at the Basketball Monster stuff here, Josh has him as doubtful. So there's a risk he doesn't play tomorrow, which probably gives a bump to Duncan Robinson, maybe Jaime Jaquez and Pel Larsen as well. One of those two might play minutes in the mid to high 20s. Duncan Robinson only 8 points here with 2 threes, but continues to start, so has some streaming value. Rozier had 17 points off the bench, 29 minutes. No indication whether they're going to bring him back into that starting lineup. So Mac Attack asked, any update on Butler's knee? Nothing that I've seen. Let me just double check, though. Well, I've got this open. Jimmy Butler. Okay. So there's nothing. Yeah, nothing. There's nothing here. So it doesn't look like he's had any scans or anything. And obviously it was late at night. So I would expect he probably misses a game or two just because it's Jimmy Butler and that's what he usually does. So I would expect him to miss a game or two, but no firm updates at this point. For the Raptors, I said RJ Barrett, very good, 37 points, hit all his free throws, even better, got you a block, even better, and was efficient from the field. So very good night for him. Igbaji, the minutes are still there, but he's not doing a ton most nights. Look, he's probably very back end based on his role, but the numbers aren't typically good enough. Jakob Poeltl was fine. Scotty Barnes had 23, 10, and 9. Free throws, 3 of 5. That's a bit of a bummer on the last day of your matchup. Jacoby Walter, no thank you, and no thank you to anyone else on the bench. Oklahoma City and Houston. Houston, big win here, 119 to 116. Same score as the last game. That probably doesn't happen too often. Rockets have been impressive. I think they're maybe half a game now out of first, so just quietly putting together a really strong start to the season. For the Thunder, Jalen Williams' shot was not dropping, 7 of 21 from the field, but he still had 22 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, steal block. So still a very good line, as it was for Shea. Lou Dort, I've said Lou Dort, Cason Wallace, Aaron Wiggins, Isaiah Joe. Take your pick. Very hard to know who to target. Tonight it was probably Cason Wallace, although he didn't get you any steals. He did get 14 and 9 in his 36 minutes. But it's one of those situations where teams that have 3, 4, 5 guys that are playing 20, 25 minutes, I tend to just avoid those teams and find a situation where it is a little bit more guaranteed. Isaiah Hartenstein had 19 and 13 as well. He continues to play very well in his starting role. For the Rockets, Fred Van Fleet, his best offensive game of the season, 38 points, 13 of 14 from the line. Didn't get you much else, only 3 assists, 0 steals, but take the points on the Sunday. Shengun had 20, 14, and 9 with a block. He's come back after a bit of a down period. He has turned things around. Jalen Green, only 9 points. So to get a win with Brown only scoring, Green, not Brown, with Green only scoring 9 points is a good effort from the Rockets. Jabari Smith had 15 and 14 with 3 blocks. He's pushed himself back into probably must roster territory. He is still a little bit up and down. And unsurprisingly, he was very good in this one. And Amen Thompson and Tari Eason were both, I'm not going to say bad, but they weren't great. Amen Thompson had 9 and 6 in 26 minutes. Tari Eason had 6, 5 and 2 steals with a block in 24 minutes. So their minutes are up and down a little bit. Tari's been down. Other than his steal numbers, everything else has been a little bit down. So still both must roster players, but maybe a bit of a buy low on those two guys there. What's Chad saying here? Olynyk ramping up for this week. Would that be more damaging to Igbaji or Poeltl? I don't think it'll be Poeltl. Let me just have a look at what... Sorry, I'm just bringing up Poeltl's box scores. I'm just curious how high his minutes have been. He's one of those guys you just sort of ignore him. Even if he's on your roster, you don't really pay attention because he's been playing so well and doing what we wanted. So his minutes, currently for the season, he's at 32.5 minutes. So, no, I actually don't think that Olynyk impacts him at all. Maybe a minute, maybe two. It's probably more Egbuaje. It's probably little bits off a few different players. I don't think it's going to impact one particular player. All right, Lakers and Utah. The Lakers narrowly, 105 to 104, get the win. We stuck with the starting lineup, well, with Dalton Connect in the starting lineup. Gabe Vincent also moved in there with Austin Reeves out. It was an illness, I believe, so nothing to worry about. Dalton Connect, only 6 points, but 30 minutes. So he is a must-roster player, just not his best night here. Gabe Vincent, even starting, I'm still not that interested in him. He had 10 points, two assists and a steal. It really just makes the other guys have to do more offensively. Anthony Davis had 33 and 11. LeBron James had 27 and 14. And I think I just read on Twitter, I think it was, that he's missed 20 consecutive threes, which is the worst streak of his career. He was 0 of 9 in this one. Hachimura had 13, 7 and 3 with two steals. Not a must roster. He's okay. He's playing minutes. He's starting. So if that does it for you, then go and pick him up. For Utah, they hung tough here. Credit to Utah. Lauri Markkanen had 22 and 7. John Collins was a little bit better here, 21 and 9. Kessler coming off a really big game the night before, I think. Yeah, sure it was. He had 13 and 11 with two blocks. Minutes are very encouraging, 35 of them here. So it's good to see Kessler just being rolled out as a starting center and playing starting center minutes. Keontae George and Colin Sexton are both just plodding along, doing enough. Neither were spectacular here, but neither were bad either. So I think not really much to dissect there. Off the bench, Bryce Sensabaugh, 17 minutes, 6 points. He has a little bit of points streaming appeal, but nothing, obviously, as we saw here, nothing too extravagant. Dallas and Portland. So a high scoring win for Dallas, 137 to 131. Luka returned as I was in the middle of doing something at work, and so I couldn't activate him, which was great because he had 36, 13 and 7 with three steals. On 15 of 24 shooting. So obviously didn't miss a beat here. The fact that Kyrie Irving was out helped him. It meant that Jaden Hardy started alongside Quentin Grimes. So Grimes, I think he had the best line of the night, actually. I was looking at the player rankings for the day. He did. So 28 points for Quentin Grimes. 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 steals. He's shooting the ball really well. I do like him as a player, but once we get Clay back and once we get Kyrie back, the minutes, I just don't think you're going to be there. But at the moment, you just hold him and enjoy this. PJ Washington, 14 and 6. Assists with 3 rebounds and a steal. So a very PJ line there. Spencer Dinwiddie somehow continues to be a rosterable player, 20 points, 5 assists, 2 steals. Again, having Irving out, so that he's basically had Luka or Kyrie out to be able to do this. Again, once both are back and Clay, Dinwiddie probably falls off that radar. Okay, over to Portland, and I just saw a question pop in from Lone Dez. Are we holding Avdija? Yeah, I think so. Jeremy Grant returned in this one and played 37 minutes. And his numbers were fine. He had 14, 6, and 5 with a steal. So that's okay. But we did get Avdija closing the game, as Lone Dez said there. And he had 21 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. I'd probably just hold him because he would have been rostered prior to this in most leagues. So if you do have him, I would just hold him. Let's see where they go. In this one, Simons did foul out, though, so this is why Avdija was in that closing lineup. If Simons doesn't foul out, he's probably, 33, 34 minutes, which means Avdija might only be 20. So hold him, but based on the trends we've sort of seen this season, I think if Jeremy Grant is healthy, Avdija is probably a drop. It could be as simple as that. Tamani Kamara, I'm going to continue holding him until he makes me drop him. He had 17 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists and a steal. Shaedon Sharpe, a nice game for him as well, 22 points with 2 steals. And Simons was good. I mean, 23 minutes, 27 points, 5 assists. So a very productive game for him. It was a shame that he fouled out. This could have been a nice 40-ish point game, 35 to 40 points, the way he was going. But it wasn't to be. And Delano Banton, increased minutes again with Anthony Simons out. He probably played a few extra here. Normally, I would not be considering him. Okay, San Antonio and Sacramento. Another bad loss for the Kings here, going down 127 to 125. For the Spurs, Wemby, not much else we can say. 34, 14 and 11 with 3 blocks and a steal, 5 threes. He's just rolling along nicely. Very curious to see how good he can get, Victor Wembanyama. Chris Paul had 13 and 10. He's just doing what we need him to do. Steph Castle, as we sort of thought might happen with Devin Vassell back, and he only played 24 minutes. Castle production down a little bit. The minutes are still very encouraging. 8 points, 1 assist, no steals. So, yeah, I think if you want to hold him for another game or two, fine. Same with Julian Champagne. He had 19 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals and a block in his 32 minutes. But I do think as Vassell ramps up, they will ramp down. On a positive for those guys, and again, let me just check, but I think I saw that Trey Jones, there was no ruling him out, but he was doubtful to return with a shoulder injury towards the back end of the game and didn't return. If he is not available, then there are more minutes for guys like Castle and Champagne. So maybe they do have another little period here of value. And Devin Vassell, I mentioned, played 24 minutes. He had 21 points, not much else, but good to see him out there and good to see him scoring the ball well. Slipping Jimmy says, I would hold Denny. Yeah, like I said, feel free to hold him. I do think that this was more to do with the foul trouble for Anthony Simons, but I could be wrong. Sacramento, another player who returned, DeMar DeRozan, and I was not able to activate him. And I actually have him, DeMar, and Luca in the same team. So they are both sitting in my IR spot, which is lovely on a Sunday. DeMar came back and, of course, played very well. 28 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. Could have done with, I don't know, what was their combined 65 points and a lot of assists and some steals. Anyway, okay, Sarah. Keegan Murray, bad again, 8 points, steal and a block. We hold him, but it's pretty close. Malik Monk started. I'm surprised. I just thought this would have been a situation like Peyton Pritchard where they like him coming off the bench. But obviously they're just trying to throw crap at the wall now and see what sticks. And Malik Monk, he stuck in terms of production. He had 19, 7 and 6 with a steal and a block. Must roster player. Probably should be rostered. I don't think he'd be floating around in any leagues, but just double check that. Keon Ellis, as a starter, he's very borderline. If he's coming off the bench and playing 17 minutes, he is not worth a look. And Jay Crowder, well, they figured out he's not that good. 11 minutes off the bench and, nothing to see there. And the last game, I think this is the last game. Have I got through all of them? I have. Denver and the Clippers. Clippers get an impressive win. They've had a few impressive wins this season. This one over the Nuggets. For Denver, Aaron Gordon returned but came off the bench. His eventual ramp up is probably going to mean a ramp down for Peyton Watson. Watson played 29 minutes starting, had 13 and 5 with a steal and a block. Maybe we get one or two more games from him, but assuming there are no setbacks for Aaron Gordon, Peyton Watson will probably be a drop pretty soon, in standard leagues at least. Jokic, just doing Jokic things. Michael Porter was fine. The free throws were a bit rough, 1 of 4, but he's usually okay there from the free throw line, so I'm not worried. Christian Brown, very slow to start here, but salvaged it late. He got 11 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. And Westbrook tanked your percentages. This is the Westbrook we know and love. 9 points, 8 assists, 2 steals and a block. That all looks okay, but 3 of 11 from the field and 2 of 4 from the free throw line are not great. And Aaron Gordon, I said he played 24 minutes. He had 10 and 4. He'll get better than this, so feel free to activate him. And for the Clippers, Norm Powell returned and was very Norm Powell. 28 points with basically nothing else, an assist and a steal. But 5 threes, perfect from the line. He does like a shot. So I did activate him. So that was good. I had him in one of my lineups. So good to have him back. James Harden had 39, 11 and 9. Continues his very good season. Chris Dunn, 4 steals and 2 blocks. He is an elite defensive streamer. Derek Jones, I'd rather have Dunn over Jones. Zubats, very quiet night for him. But against Jokic, this is not uncommon. He had 6 and 8. He will be fine. Terrence Mann, 15 off the bench, but took, 6 of 7? I don't know what that is. 85% or something shooting to get there, so he won't do this. And Amir Coffey moved back to the bench with Norm Powell, and we can move on from him. All right, let's just some quick questions. There was a tradey kind of one. Well, actually, let's do Chad's question first. So this is a two-parter. I've lost 4 of 6 matchups, 2 to 7. Ranked 9th in field goal percentage, 5th in free throw percentage, 7th in threes, 9th in points, 7th in boards, 6th in assists, 1st in steals, 7th in blocks, 5th in turnovers. Am I crazy for thinking my best chance of winning is becoming peak University of Virginia, all defense, 0 offense? And if so, which of Garland, Bane, Suggs, Halliburton, and IQ is the best trade chip to use? So looking at your stats there, obviously I can't do too deep a dive, but your strengths are steals, turnovers. Blocks. Look, I mean, 7th in blocks. I guess if you're looking at it from a what do I do perspective, blocks would be one of the easier categories to turn around in theory because it's low volume. The low volume categories are easier. You only need to get 2 players that average 2 blocks and you're right back in there. If you go that way, it probably going to, well, potentially impact your free throw percentage but increase field goal percentage. So, and you're 9th in field goal percentage. So, I don't know, without looking at all the numbers here, I would lean into, 7th in rebounds? Yeah, I mean, based on some punts that I've done this season, which have been pretty successful, I've targeted rebounds, blocks. So big man stats, rebounds, blocks, field goal percentage, turnovers, and steals. So that might be a path to go. And if so, who would you look to part ways with there? Well, it wouldn't be Suggs because a lot of his value is steals and he's a decent shot blocker. Maybe Garland because he's sort of a sell high at the moment. It might be Halliburton, but not now. I wouldn't do it now because you'd be selling low on him. Emmanuel Quickley is probably going to be points, threes, and assists, but I don't know what you get back. I think he's probably top 50, but is someone going to give you top 50 when he's out? So it might be Garland. For me, I think you could probably get a top 30 for him, maybe. I think that's sort of where I've got him rest of season, maybe top 40. So if you could get, if you could get someone, but remember to have a look at punting. So if you're getting rid of Garland, you might be able to get a, I don't know. Let me have a look. Walker Kessler, for example. And they're similar. I think Garland overall is the better player. But if you were to switch those punts on and punt assists and free throw percentage and things like that, you would find that Garland would fall way down and Kessler would go up to be a top 20 player or something like that. So, yeah, it's a tricky kind of thing to pull off, but that's something I would consider. What else have we got here? OG doing his best Chris Dunn impression. Yes. God, that shooting's frustrating. Okay, what's Chad got? I can top your injury. I had one team with all three of Luka, DeRozan, and Powell. You had all three on your bench. There you go. I only had two, so that makes me feel good. Okay. And that will do. We did the Herb question. Yeah, I think we've done them all. So that will do for – oh, hang on. Here we go. Have we got a question? When you're ready, McBride, Micić, Smart on the wire, and you need a point guard, who would you add in a 14-team league? Not McBride. Probably depends on categories, what you need. If you need steals, I would go Smart. If you need assists, I would go Micić, probably. And Smart is probably a little bit more sustainable. I'm reading questions. Yes, so Smart for steals, Micić for assists. Smart long-term, because Micić, as soon as LaMelo's back, Micić will be nothing. I didn't answer trade question yet. Where is your trade question? Oh, here it is. I did see this one. I was reading it to myself before the show. Just got this trade offer recently from a 12-team nine cat. Do I accept it? Yeah, it was a tough one. Josh Giddey and Dennis Schroeder for Desmond Bane and Kuminga. I have the Giddey side. So you have Giddey and Schroeder and potentially getting Bane and Kuminga. I think I'd hold Giddey and Schroeder. I just don't think Kuminga is going to be I think of the four players, Giddey, Schroeder, and Bane are all must roster 12-team rest of the season. I don't think Kuminga is. So Kuminga is the worst player there for me, and Bane is, in theory, the best. But like I said, I'm not sure he will be top. He might be top 70-ish, and I think Schroeder could be top 90. So there's not a massive difference between them, and Ben Simmons, as we know, like, he's not healthy, and Schroeder, they'll just roll him out there. And I think Giddey still has room to improve this year, so I think I'd probably stick with the Giddey and Schroeder unless you could upgrade Kuminga. That would be something I'd be looking at. So here's that build for that trade question. So looking to move Garland, like I said, McCollum and Tobias Harris. And Chad is feeling the pain of terrible Tyus Jones for Andre Drummond trade. I really thought Drummond's been very disappointing. I think he is, I don't have it, but Josh has that sound, that washed sound or whatever, and Drummond does look a bit washed despite only being 31. He has not been a good player this season. You could drop Kuminga, Herb. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'd drop Kuminga there. To activate Herb. Well, once Herb is healthy, obviously. Okay, that will do. I'm going to go and write an article now. Go and do some actual work. That will do for today's show. I'm endeavouring to do a pre-game show tomorrow. With only four games, I should be able to bang it out in sort of 15 to 20 minutes. So I should be able to squeeze one in. Should be good for tomorrow. Yes. I'm off to the movies to see Heretic, but it will be, I think we're going to a 9 o'clock screening or something. So that should be fine. That will do. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and for listening. Remember, go and find us and download this. You don't have to listen to it. Just download it. It all adds up. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.